Morning. Oh, good works. Morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Very exciting day today. I have several announcements here, so many that I had to write them down. We've had the installation today at 3 p.m. Okay, everyone's welcome there. Even if you didn't sign up, please come by. It will be very good. As to the table talk, we have table talk on Mondays. It's at a new place this Monday at 6 p.m. It will be at the Grass Valley Brewery at 141 East Main Street, Grass Valley. Okay? So you got there. Next announcement, we have name tags for everyone to wear. They're in your mailboxes. Okay? So get those. I noticed several people have them on now, if not everyone, not including myself. Okay. Let me see here, got a tablecloth. No Bible study today, all right? And if everyone can, after service today, if everyone can remain in their seats here, we have announcements, and that'll take place after service, okay? So just remain. One more. We want everyone to stand now for the processional hymn as we come in to begin our service today. Okay? Thank you very much.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. On this special day today, we meditate on Revelation 7 and Matthew 5, knowing that in Christ, saints are eternally blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen. From the earliest times, long before there was a church called Lutheran, the people of God have acknowledged that the church had much to learn from those who had gone before. The purpose of remembering the saints who have departed this life in faith and died a blessed death is recognized as threefold. First, we give thanks to God for giving faithful servants to his church. Second, through such remembering of these saints, our own faith is strengthened. And finally, the saints are examples by which we may imitate both their faith and their holy living according to our own calling in life. So just what is a saint and how do we find them today? While I serve the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ in Kenya, the Roman Church named its first Kenyan official Roman saint that had served in Kenya. Actually, she was an Italian nun, but she had served in Kenya for almost 40 years. The papers were full of the fact that this was the first Kenyan saint. And so it really bothered my mind, so I got on the internet and struggled to find how in the Roman Catholic Church one became a saint. And I found out there are five steps that were needed to be made a saint or beatified in the Roman Church. First, you have to die, and you have to wait 5 years or more. Second, there must be an examination of your life to see whether you are a candidate full of virtue and holiness. Third, there must be some proof of a heroic virtue that was shown. And fourth, a miracle must occur as a result of someone praying to this future would-be saint after they died. And this must be verified by more than one person. Fifth, if this type of miracle, that is, praying to one and having a miracle given to you that has died, is verified, and the Pope approves, then such a person is named a saint, verified by popes, commission, and friends. Such are saints made by men. But it is enough, is it enough, before God? In the epistle appointed for all saints, the Lord of the Church reveals through John a beautiful picture of life with the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let me refresh your mind again to this wonderful picture of which you have just sung. A great multitude from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, stand before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. They are before the throne of God. They serve Him day and night. There they shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This beautiful scene, I submit, raises the very question addressed: who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? By the grace of God, we shall endeavor to answer this question today. But first, there are two more other questions that we must ask. First, is this picture from Revelation 7 a picture of the present or a picture of the future? Now, if you've been in Bible class with me, you know that the answer, of course, is yes. It is both a picture of the present and a picture of the future. And second, how does one become a saint in the eyes of God? In Matthew 5, Jesus explains how He makes saints. He explains how one becomes as blessed as He is. Listen again. He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In the last several weeks, we have heard from the Gospels appointed the astonishment at the 12 of the sayings of Jesus. And I submit to you, this would be no exception. They were appalled when Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." And again, they must have inquired among themselves that great question, "Who then can be saved?" Or, to put it in language of the day, "Who is a saint worthy of the kingdom?" What do you think about when you hear these words? I can tell you what I think about. When I read about the poor in spirit, theologically I understand that, but practically it kind of flies over my head a lot. Like the Pharisee and the publican, oftentimes I am more like the Pharisee who says, "Thank God I am not like other people," than the publican who says, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." I can understand the mourning and grief part. As a pastor, I have been privileged to share that with this congregation and with many others during my lifetime. I can even get the part about hunger and thirst, but the righteousness part, that leaves me wondering, from where does such righteousness come? Does it come from within me? If that is the case, I submit to you, I am in trouble. For I just confessed to you and to God that I'm a poor, miserable sinner. How about you? Sinner and righteousness, do they have anything in common? Merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, persecuted? Well, perhaps the persecuted part. But do you know anyone so blessed other than Christ himself, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, not his own? Now, if you were to submit your name as a candidate for sainthood, would the person sitting next to you agree with that assessment? How about those who live with you each and every day? In my case, I want to be so blessed, but alas, I do not qualify, for I am a self-confessed sinner, not a holy person. So, now I inquire of you. Remember the tip I gave you earlier? Are you a sinner or a saint? Again, the answer is yes. Yes. In this earthly life, children of God are at one and the same time sinner, that is, those who sin daily, unintentionally and so forth, but also saint, because in their baptism they have been clothed with Christ, with his righteousness. Sinner, because the old nature still clings to you. Saint, because in baptism you have been clothed in the white garment of the righteousness of Christ, where your sins were washed away in his blood. Through the earthly life of Jesus, his suffering and death for sinners, the Father has declared the world to be a righteous. He has named you a saint. His righteousness is given to you freely and received as gift by faith in Christ, through which the Holy Spirit makes you God's child. In your baptism, washed in the springs of his living water, your sins were removed. Your sinful nakedness was redressed, reclothed with Christ. Already a saint because you believe the promises that you confess in the Apostolic Creed. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Already a saint, because he has prepared a place for you and will come again to receive you to himself. Already a saint, living a life of repentance and forgiveness, because Christ suffered and died for you. Already a saint, with Christ now living in you. Already a saint, blessed by God, fully clothed in the righteousness of Christ, living the life of one blessed by God, forgiven, sainted, blessed, meek, righteous, peacemakers, pure in heart. You see, none of this blessedness, none of this sainthood, none of this righteousness rests on you. You, by faith, have been connected to Him, where all righteousness comes from, that is, Christ. And connected to Him, you have His righteousness, and therefore are already a saint. Already a saint, but alas, still a sinner. A sinner saint, if you will. Already sainted, but not yet fully. Now the old nature, the natural man, still clings to you. Through His word that proclaims you forgiven by grace, through faith, you already have heaven on earth. Now you have the answer to the second question put before you at the beginning of this sermon. How does one become a saint? It is time to answer the first question. The first picture from Revelation 7, is it a picture of the past, the present, or the future? The answer, of course, is yes. Jesus speaks so through St. John to those gathered around the throne who respond to Christ saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly worship indeed. This day, you too gather around the throne of the Lamb. You offer praise and thanksgiving for Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, your sin. Once the cross was His throne of glory, so today this altar is His throne. And as you gather around here, Christ is present here. And because He is here, so are all those who are disembodied saints now residing with Him, awaiting that resurrection of the body and the life eternal. They come where He goes. So they are here, present among us, rejoicing with us and through us and for us. And today, soon, you will have a foretaste of the feast of heaven. Today, your hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with that body and that blood from Calvary's cross, now given to you in with and under bread and wine. Today, He shall feed your spiritual hunger with His body and quench your thirst with His blood. Today, He wipes away your tears because you know that all who die in Jesus die a blessed death. You mourn your earthly loss, yet you know that those whom He has made saints by His blood do not perish, but have eternal life. Persecution, too, is nothing new to the saints of God. It ends with the shedding of blood, real blood. Not simply the blood of martyrs like you and me and those we remember today who have died a blessed death, but the blood of Christ covered that tree on Calvary. And that blood of Christ flows in baptismal stream. And the blood of Christ is poured into your mouth through your lips so that you who are in Christ may know that Christ is in you as well. So I greet you, one another, fellow saints, and I submit that you are to live in your calling, saints of God, blessed today and blessed forever, sainted and blessed already, not yet fully, but soon, however, comes that day when He shall wipe away every tear from our eyes. And on that day we shall hear, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in this Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.